Folks, we love having first-time guests. She has a tremendous piece posted about Sabrina on Bleacher Report. We've retweeted it. You can find it on her Twitter handle. Use at Mirren Fader. It's on BleacherReport.com. Her website, MirrenFader.com. You may guess by now, Mirren Fader joins us. Mirren, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing during these unique times?
Unique is the key word, right? I'm good. Yep. I'm good. I'm leaning into gratitude. So thanks for having me.
We love this. It's an awesome piece. So I know you're in LA, but how about a little background? I know you're writing for Bleacher Report. You do a podcast. So where are you from? Where did you attend school? And, you know, a little Mirren backstory.
Yeah, I'm in LA. I'm born and raised here, one of the few non-transplants. I've played basketball all my life. Love basketball. I ended up playing my first year actually at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, but I really missed home, and so I ended up transferring to Occidental College, which is where I graduated in 2013, and really started shifting to sports writing. I mean, I've loved basketball, but I've loved writing even more, and so I thought, you know, merging the two of them together would be the best option. I started my career at the Orange County Register for 4 years, was freelancing a bit on the side for BR and ESPN, and then BR hired me a couple years ago. So thankful to be employed right now.
Yeah, obviously we live here in Eugene. We do a sports show, so we've witnessed the brilliance of UNESCO firsthand. But I'm curious, you write about a lot of subjects, some soccer, some football. Do you remember when Sabrina appeared on your radar?
Yeah, actually, I was freelancing for ESPN when I wrote a piece about Sabrina in high school when she was taking her time to make her decision. And I remember it was seen as such an anomaly. Like, why would such a high-rated prospect take her time? So that was the first time I profiled her. And then the last year, I profiled her for the first time for Bleacher. She was in the midst of that amazing season. And so I just thought, you know, what really stood out to me was not really what she does on the court, but what's going on in her head mentally. So I thought, okay, now is an interesting time to talk to an athlete of that type of obsessive mentality. So I just wanted to try it again.
Well, you nailed it. Obviously, in the wake of the crash that took the lives of 9 people and included Kobe and his daughter, a lot of people learned about that relationship. So in speaking with Sabrina, I guess, what struck you about the kind of relationship they had, his impact? And as she said, she's still not back to normal over this yet.
Yeah, you know, their relationship was so deep. I really didn't realize it, but they were like family. You know, it wasn't just superstar gives fellow up-and-coming superstar some pointers here and there. I mean, they were incredibly close. She saw a lot of her own passion in Gigi. You know, that I love basketball, I will do anything for this type of passion. And I think that brought them together. So, I mean, to say this was devastating would be an understatement. It's kind of like losing a parent almost. Not saying Kobe was like, you know, her parent, but really it's a figure that guides you, that understands you, that's always there for you. And then you wake up one day and they're not. And that really hurt her.
I'm talking with Mirren Fader, who authored this wonderful piece about Sabrina. Speaking of parents, you spoke with her dad, Dan, and, you know, people from our athletic department up here. And I guess, what did you learn about how she's kind of obsessive and basketball actually provided a way for her to maintain some level of control?
Yeah, the way Sabrina's mind works is that she's always feeling like she's about to lose something or she's, you know, inferior. So obviously we know she is incredible. She is always the best player on the court. But if you are inside her head, there's a voice telling her that she's not and that she's got to outwork everyone so that she can be. So it's this obsessive work ethic that just goes beyond, oh, I'll shoot before practice, I'll shoot after practice. Sabrina can score 30 points, have 10 assists, and still be angry at herself for missing a free throw. I mean, her standards for herself are so much higher than all of us mere mortals. So, you know, what I really learned is that for somebody that tries to control every element of the game and her life, she is really for the first time being in a situation where she has no control. Not only is organized basketball being taken away from her, her season, her storybook season for Oregon, their chance at a national title, but really also what's taken away from her is what we talked about, Kobe and Gigi. So how do you deal as a person so used to being in control when you the first time in your life don't have any?
Yeah, it's, you know, you talk about the level of emotion this year from the glory, the success, you know, becoming the only 2,000, 1,000, 1,000 player. And as you mentioned, the tragedy that took her friends, then the virus canceling the tournament. And as you wrote, I mean, how is she still absorbing this? I think your direct quote was, you know, how deep are her cuts still?
They're really, really deep. And I think it's because the way that grief works is that, you know, you try to move forward with your day because you have to, right? She has responsibility. She's got to train. But it's almost like PTSD in a sense where these memories just pop up. And so the cutting deep happens over and over and over again. And it the edge lessens a little bit as time goes on, but it'll just hit her at any moment. She'll hear Gigi's laugh or, you know, she'll be on her phone and somebody with a name that starts with a K will pop up and her mind thinks, oh, it's Kobe. And then she realizes, no, that's not reality, obviously. And you're back to your reality, which still hurts. So it's a process. She said it's a process that she thinks she will always go through. But I think that she is coming to terms with acceptance. It doesn't mean she's over it. It's just like, I accept what's all that has happened and I didn't want this to happen. And it still hurts that all of this has happened, but you know, Kobe would want me to think about, okay, what's next?
Being so focused, so driven, and she's somebody who follows a very strict routine. And you talked with one of the Duck assistants, Mark Campbell, said, I mean, basically, since she became an elite high school player, she's had a bullseye, which affected her sleep. So as you wrote about, how has this first ever break from basketball impacted her, you know, actually, I think you said allowing her to breathe?
Literally. Yeah. And I really do mean that sincerely, literally. This is the first time Sabrina has taken a breath. You know, I think when you're so used to carrying the weight of your team on your shoulders and expectations for yourself to be so great, it's like you get used to that weight, but you forget what it's like to not have it. And this is the first time she doesn't have it. And so, yeah, her shoulders are a little looser. She's actually sleeping. I mean, Sabrina's not just an insomniac. She will be up until 4 a.m. before games, just so nervous. Like she cannot turn off that obsessive, restless part of her. But now with nobody coming after her, as Campbell said, there's a calmness there. And it doesn't mean that she's at peace, but she's trying to find peace and sort of her life is slowing down to allow her to figure out some way, some method to get closer to finding peace.
Couple of final thoughts for Miren Fader of Bleacher Report. One more time back to that awful week. I mean, the death of Kobe and Gigi, then she played against Oregon State, spoke at the memorial, flew to Stanford. How does Sabrina kind of remember all of that massive whirlwind?
Well, that's the thing about it. She doesn't remember the actual games. And that is so telling for the amount of pain that she was in because, as we talked about, she's obsessive. She remembers every detail, literally everything that happens from start to finish, before the game, after the game. And she was so steeped with grief that it was almost like she blacked out. And so, you know, she does not remember the details of it, but she remembers how physically ill she felt. She felt so down that she could not bring herself to warm-ups. Literally, her body felt heavy. She had to stay in the locker room. So, but what she does remember is her teammates and her coaches carrying her. And it's usually the other way around. But Sabrina really learned that, you know, being a leader is sometimes letting go, letting others take the reins. And when she was able to do that, she still ended up, you know, being obviously the top performer.
And lastly, the end of your piece, where with so much happening, the season being canceled, thinking about what lies ahead, starting tomorrow with the draft, you know, the part you wrote about, how did she actually just find some solace in just simply heading to an outdoor court just to shoot some hoops?
I mean, she really needed that so much. There, it was miraculous that one was open and, You know, Sabrina just felt such gratitude for not just the hoop and the ball, but her hands, her wrists. It was like an outer body experience. It's kind of like, imagine breaking so many bones and you're finally back on the court and you're like, wow, look at what my body can do. Her breaks were not physical. They were emotional. They were mental. And so it was so wonderful for her to have this experience of, all right, even if I'm not perfect, even if life is really rough right now, even if I'm not healed from all these wounds, I have the chance to play basketball today, and any day that I can play basketball is a good day.
Folks, she is Miren Fader. This article in particular was for Bleacher Report, but you can go to her website, MirenFader.com. It is a terrific piece. I really enjoyed it, and I really appreciate you finding some time to talk to us. And you be well, you be safe, and I look forward to chatting again down the road.
Anytime, anytime. Thanks for having me, and stay safe.
Okay, take care.